Hi, I'm David Sardella. Been married 27 years to a wonderful lady, Gail. Have four wonderful children. I just want to share with you that what it's like to be a youth coach. Just spent 5 days up in Prescott with 400 junior high students. Had an unbelievable time. Got involved with junior high ministry about 2.5 years ago. After hanging out with Dustin Tappan and Robin Bossy and the great junior high staff that we have, I've realized that one person can make a difference. And to have the kids that have been in my group for as long as they've been in my group, we've had kids come up from every direction of life. They all have every problem in life. And to sit there and love these kids and realize that they are wonderful has been a way to fulfill my heart with the Lord Jesus. When you first start out in the children's ministry, you go the first day and you're like, wow, there's 500 kids here. There's nothing I can do. I'm wasting my time. Folks, please believe that there is room for you, every single one of you, and you're not wasting your time. And as you start building relationships and you start hanging out with the youth or the teenagers, you will see that there's a huge part in their life that you can be. And after you've been there a few times, you realize that these kids need you more than ever. And doing children's ministry and junior high ministry, we have definitely shown the way to a lot of young men, a lot of young ladies. Myself, I live a wonderful life. I feel blessed and every day I wake up. I feel blessed with my wife. I feel blessed with my business and the things that I have. I feel that Jesus Christ has definitely been there for me, and I feel it's time to give back. I've been given back, and it's a great feeling. Love doing it. If you step forward and you allow God to work in your life, you will see that you too can make a difference in someone's life.
Do you realize that each and every one of you are one relationship away from connecting people to God and accomplishing great things? Whether you're a youth coach like David Sardella, or whether you're a parent, or whether you're a friend, or whether you're a coworker, or whether you're a neighbor, you are one person away from God connections. I want to ask you, are you the beginning point? Are you the kind of person that you just have that ability that no matter where people are, you can take this person and you can connect them? I mean, that's your job. You can connect people. You're the beginning point. For some of you, maybe you're not the beginning point. You're the tipping point. You're the one that when people get together, whether it's in their youth group or whether it's at work or wherever it is, you're the one that's the influencer. You can convince others to do the tipping point and do something they've never done before, kind of like Dwayne Wade obviously did with LeBron James and Chris Bosh. Getting them to go to the Heat. He was the tipping point. He was the one that was the influencer to making that happen. Maybe you're not the beginning point. You're not the tipping point. Maybe you're the continuing point. You're that person that once it gets started, you can come in and offer stability and consistency and faithfulness. Young people say today that their biggest fear is their parents would get a divorce. And that's why moms and dads, if you're hanging in there through the good times and the bad times, you are the continuing point for these students in junior high and high school age because of everything they have to face to know that you are hanging in there together. It's incredible for them. It makes a difference. Or maybe you're an older person here. You're a senior and you've been through life and you've experienced a lot of things. And when younger couples are around you, you give them that stability and commitment. You're the continuing point. Maybe you're not the beginning point, the tipping point, the continuing point. Maybe you're the finishing point. Maybe you're the person that's not afraid to stand by yourself. You're not afraid to live for an audience of one. And when something needs to be done, you will stand alone against the crowd and you will say, hey, there is power in one and I will do whatever it takes. You see, history is rarely ever changed by one person. But it takes one person to act in order to change history. I want to repeat that. History is rarely changed by one person, but one person has to act for history to change. An example would be the lead rock singer, Bono. He saw a need in Africa to wipe out the incredible poverty and the devastation of life through HIV/AIDS, and he was able to rally, if you will, governmental leaders, philanthropists, give the attention of the whole world to the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Africa. He was the power of one. He was a difference maker. Or in December 1955, a lady was riding a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, and she was sitting in the third row. And the bus driver said, "Excuse me, ma'am, you need to move back one seat so the white people can sit in front of you." And on that day, Rosa Parks did not move. She refused to move 3 feet back. And on that day, history in America was changed. And so you're looking here today and you're saying, I can't make a difference. God can't use me. Whether you're a young person or whatever age you are, whatever your situation in life, there is power in one person and you can make a difference. And I believe God wants to raise up difference makers in this church and in this city, young and old, to change this culture. Because you see, our culture, our courts, and the media have told Christians today in America to go to the back of the bus and keep quiet, and they will direct our nation and our values. And so they will say to us today, you know what, we don't want to hear from you Christians at all. You need to shut up. And I want to say to you, it's time for us as Christians in all areas of life to speak up. Or they will say, you know what, you're the minority now in this country and you need to back off and give in to our agenda. And I say we shouldn't give up, we should stand up and speak up with faith and be bold. You know why? Faith will make you act crazy. Faith will make you act crazy. You don't believe me? When's the last time that you did something that you were crazy because of your faith in Jesus Christ? Like I was saying earlier, isn't it interesting that we will do crazy things in every area of our life, but we would not do anything crazy for Jesus Christ because we think it would be a little weird? And that's why they were on a boat one day in the Sea of Galilee, and there was a storm came up, and Jesus came walking, and he said, "Peter, come on, walk on the water." And trust me, when Peter got out of the boat to walk on the water, I guarantee you all of his buddies that had been with him for a long time said, "Whoa, that dude is crazy." But you know what? Outside of Jesus, he's the world champion water walker. Faith will make you act like you're crazy. Or there was a lady that had hemorrhaging, could not stop it. She spent all of her money going to doctors. Nobody could help her. She was a social outcast. She wasn't supposed to go outside. And the Bible doesn't say that, but to me, she probably said to her family, "You know what? This guy Jesus is coming to town. I believe he can heal me. And even though I'm not supposed to go out in public, I'm an outcast, I am unclean today, I am going to go meet him because I believe if I can just touch him, he will heal me." And no doubt they said, "You are crazy. You can't do that." But she left the house. She went outside, she mingled in the crowd, she reached out and touched his garment, and Jesus said, "Whoa, who touched me?" And immediately she was healed. Faith will make you act like you're crazy. Well, there was a little guy named Dave that he was bringing some food down to his brothers. They were supposed to be fighting in battle that day, but they were afraid. And he shows up and he hears this big giant named Goliath defying them and defying his God, Almighty God. And he says, "What's going on? Why are you guys sitting around here not taking on this big guy?" And they were afraid. They said, "Oh, this guy's too big to hit." But faith will make you act like you're crazy. And David said, "No, you got it wrong. This guy's too big to miss." And he got a stone and hit him right between the eyes, and victory was given to God. You see, no doubt the soldier said, "Young boy, you are crazy." Faith will make you act crazy. When's the last time in your business, your school, and your family, wherever you were not afraid to step up and do something crazy because of your unbelievable faith in Jesus Christ? If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's in the Old Testament. I want you to follow along. I'm going to kind of tell you the story. Here's the story in 1 Samuel chapter 14. The Philistines and the Israelites are fighting back and forth. The Israelites are outmanned. They're outnumbered. They also have less weapons, because the Bible says that the Philistines stole and confiscated all of their weapons except for two swords. King Saul had one, and his son Jonathan had one. And so they're not fighting at this particular time. The Philistines are up on a cliff, on a pass, and you know how a pass is. It's kind of like when you come through, we all jump on you and kill you. And so the Israelites are off to the side. The Philistines are on the pass, and nobody's fighting. And Jonathan, the king's son, says to his armor bearer, "Hey, I'm not going to ask Dad, but tell you what, let's go out in the middle. Let's go out where they can all see us and see what happens. If they don't come down and get us, that's one thing. But if they say to us, you know what? Hey, buddy, come on up here. We'll teach you a lesson." He told his armor bearer, "Then we'll know God's telling us, go on up. We're going to give them to you." That's crazy. But they did it. Faith will make you act crazy. And so he and his armor bearer walked out in the open in front of all the Philistines on the cliff. And lo and behold, the Philistines called down and said, "Hey, buddy, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson." And he turns to his armor bearer and says, "Hey, God's given us the green light." And the Bible says he climbed on all fours, hand over hand, to get up to the cliff. Remember, he's only got one sword, so his armor bearer, I don't know what he's using. They get to the top of the cliff, and the Bible says on that day, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20 men. And they said panic struck the whole Philistine army. And the Philistine army had weapons. They had swords and spears. And they woke up and they began to kill each other. Saul then hears what's going on. And he says, "Wait a minute, there's a battle going on. Who in the world's fighting? I didn't give the orders to fight." And get everybody together. And they got everybody together. And they said, "Two people are missing. Your son Jonathan is missing and his armor bearer." And he said, "Wait a minute, we better go help them." And Saul and his army went up and attacked the Philistines. And because God sent panic throughout the whole Philistine army, they were killing each other, they turned and ran. And that day, God gave victory to the Israelites, even though they were outnumbered and outmanned, all because his son, Jonathan, had the faith to believe God to do something crazy. I think there's three things that come out of this passage that I want us to think about today. Number one, our lives matter when we pursue the right cause. Our lives matter when we pursue the right cause. In verse 6, he said, let's take on these uncircumcised Philistines. In other words, he's saying, these are enemies of God, and if we take on the enemy of Almighty God, it is a worthy cause. Our lives matter when we pursue the right cause. And that's why this year, I want you to know, this church made a difference, because there's some people that stepped up and said, there's a problem in this city with sex trafficking, and they began a ministry called Streetlight, because that is the right cause. Or the high school young people at their camp this year understood the importance of clean drinking water, of digging wells in different parts of the world, and they said, that's a worthy cause. Or we collected 200,000 pounds of food to help people in this valley that don't have enough food to eat. That is a worthy cause. Or being a foster parent, or adopting a child, or sponsoring a child, or printing leadership material to help underground Christian church leaders in China. Those are worthy causes. Don't waste your life pursuing the wrong cause. What does it profit us, the Bible says, if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? This week I was at a National Christian Convention in Indianapolis, and on the way back at the evening session from the convention center going to the hotel, there was a guy on the street, sitting on the street with a big sign that said, "I'm not lying. I need beer. I need money to buy beer." And I looked at that, and very quickly I said, "Hey, nice sign. I'm not lying either. I'm not going to give you money to buy beer." And he laughed. It really caught him off guard. And I kept on going. My point is, you might be in trouble, but I'm not going to give you money for your addictive habit. Are you investing your life and your energy pursuing the wrong things? Our lives matter when we pursue the right things. And that's why I am so excited at what's going on in our youth ministry right now. And I believe God's going to raise up all kinds of young men and women to not just be difference makers in this culture in many ways, but I believe God's going to call a lot of you to be missionaries, to be pastors, to be church leaders, that you are going to give your life to Jesus. And I want to tell you, parents, when your kids come back from camp and they say, I want to be radical, and I want to do something crazy and go on the mission field or whatever, don't talk them out of it. Breaks my heart when Christian parents tell their kids, "I don't want you to do that because you won't make enough money. That will be dangerous." You know. Listen. Don't get them pursuing the wrong things, because some of you are 45 years of age, and you stop now and sit back and you say, I wish I'd had this in my life. I wish I would have pursued something different when I was younger. I was talked out of it. Or some of you that are retirement age, you've worked hard, but listen, don't use your money, your expertise, your time for yourself as you approach the last years of your life. You have so much to offer so many other people. Invest it in advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Our lives matter when we are involved in the right cause. Secondly, our lives matter when we partner with the right people. In verse 7, the armor bearer, Jonathan, said, hey, let's go out here and see what happens. And the armor bearer said, hey, I am with you heart and soul. Our lives matter when we get connected with the right people. And that's why 28 years ago we began this ministry and I went home and told my wife, honey, we're going to start a church. She said, where's the money coming from? I said, I don't know. She said, I'm with you heart and soul. Let's go for it. We'll do whatever it takes. And there's people that are here today that were a part of those founding members, the original group that said, you know what? We will do whatever it takes. You've got to partner with the right people to do significant things for Jesus Christ. That's why you young people are involved in cylinder groups. You get together with your peers and a coach, and you build relationships, and you partner, and you encourage each other. That's why as adults we're involved in neighborhood family groups and in neighborhood groups where we can build relationships. That's why we encourage you to take the next level and go to a T group where there's three or four of the same sex and you ask those tough accountability questions. Our lives matter when we partner with the right people. You never know what's going to happen when you partner with the right person. About 4 years ago, a young pastor's wife in Africa said, I don't have a pastor's wife to mentor me. And so she got the Outreach magazine that's put out every year in America, listing the largest churches in America and the fastest growing churches in America. And she scanned the list and she picked out 10 of the churches that were larger and growing rapidly. And one of the 10 that she picked was Christ Church the Valley. And she said, God, I need a woman to be a mentor for me, a pastor's wife. And so I'm going to write a handwritten letter to 10 pastor's wives of these churches that she didn't even know. And she says, God, I need your help. So whichever pastor's wife writes a personal letter back to me, that's the one I think you'll want me to use as my mentor. And lo and behold, she wrote 10 letters, and my wife was the only one that wrote a personal letter back to her. And so she flew to the United States to meet my wife, and they began to talk. She came to CCV. She said, wow, my husband just is not yet 40. And her husband, not yet 40, was already pastoring a church of 2,000 to 3,000. He was having crusades twice a month from 50,000 people to 200,000 people in Africa. And her husband, likewise, did not have a real dad. He didn't have a spiritual father. And she said, I think my husband would connect with your husband. Lo and behold, long story short, Stephen Sabiala has been here at least three or four times. He was here for our last missions conference. He spent a week with us. He talked to our elders. He went through Starting Point. He's been here. He is digging into everything at CCV. And he says, you know what? This is the healthy kind of church we need in Africa. And he said, I'm going to change the name of my church to Christ Church in Africa. And he said, I would like you to take the leadership training that you do in Portugal and Peru with Equip and help train some pastors. Every December, he said, I bring pastors for 10 days into Uganda and we train them. I said, how many people come? He said, I bring in 1,500 pastors from all over Eastern Africa and I would like CCV to invest what they're doing in this situation. And you know what occurred to me? God has done incredible things through this church. But our greatest ministry might be impacting 1,500 churches in Africa. Just because, why? Unbelievable things happen when you partner with the right people. Unbelievable things also happen when you pursue the right cause. Thirdly, our lives matter when we trust in the power of God. What does the Bible say in verse 15? When Jonathan climbs to the top, it says panic struck the whole army. It said it was panic sent by God. Your lives matter. You can make a difference when you trust in the power of God. That's why for many of you here, several years ago, we were meeting in Deer Valley High School. We were running out of space. We said we need a permanent home. And less than about 1,200 people committed $1 million cash on one day to buy the land that we're here. Our lives matter when we trust in the power of God because many people said that's not possible. Or 2 years ago about this time, the economy was slowly beginning to turn. CCV was $350,000 in the red. And our leaders, we sat down and talked with the elders, and some of them said, you know what, we believe the economy is going to get worse in the next few months. And so we made a proactive decision. We tried to cut back. We had to let go some staff, great staff. We cut back 15 staff. A month later, we challenged you to tithe for the first time, and 1,300 families stepped up and said, I'll trust God with my finances. And immediately things changed. The end of the year, we were in the black. And the last 2 years, it has been tough in the valley. There's not hardly a week goes by that I don't talk to a pastor from another church in the valley that says the attendance is down, the finances are down, they are really struggling, and I pray with them. And the good news is, for this church in the last 2 years, our giving's been up 10 to 12%, our attendance been up 10 to 12%, our baptisms this year are up 50%, and it's only because we are trying to trust in the power of God. Now, be careful, because you might think, well, you mean those other churches aren't trusting in the power of God? No, not at all. They are. But one difference was when I stood up at the first of the year 2 years ago and said, if we're going to have less staff, I need more of you to step up and volunteer. And so many of you stepped up and said, you can count on me. I will make a difference. Never underestimate the power of one. Never underestimate what you can do. Whether you're changing diapers in the nursery, when you leave the parking lot today, please cheer those people working in the parking ministry. That is 110 not standing on the concrete and asphalt, and you tell them, good job. There are people doing so many things, and no matter what you do, you might think nobody knows, but it makes a difference when we trust in the power of God. What can we do? We can pray. Never underestimate your prayer. Some of you are prayer warriors. You need to lift these kids up in prayer that God will protect them as they go to school this fall, and God will use them to take the same energy they have and take over their high schools for Jesus Christ. We can pray. We can also go. 100 went to Africa. Some of you said, I'm not sure I could go to the slum in Africa. I wouldn't plan on telling this story, but we might even go over a little, but I'm going to tell you the story real quick. When I flew in Indianapolis at midnight this week to go to the convention, a gentleman picked me up in the cab. And I said, are you from Africa? He said, yes. I guessed, are you from Kenya? He said, yes. I only know one big city in Kenya. I said, are you from Nairobi? He said, yes. I really felt special, you know what I mean? And we're driving. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to a Christian convention. I said, are you Muslim or are you Christian? He said, I'm Muslim. I said, that's incredible. That's great. I said, you know that our church just sent 100 people over to one of the poorest slums there in Kenya. We took over medical supplies and did so on and so on. And this Muslim driving said to me, you know what? I've heard the stories about the Christians that are showing love and helping the people in the poorest places of the city where I grew up. And I think that's incredible. This is the Muslim. What you do does make a difference. But some of you can't go to Africa. But you know what? You can go across the street. Or you can go across the hall where you work, or you can go across the freeway, or you can go wherever God wants you to go. Again, wherever you go, God's going to use you. You can pray, you can go, you can give. You can give. It's my prayer that probably in the next 2 or 3 years, 100 of these kids will say, I'm going to go to Bible college, and some of them might not have the funds. And I know already our seniors help with scholarships. Our church helps with scholarships. And some of you would say, you know what? I'm going to take some of the money I put aside for a vacation or retirement, and I will invest in these young people that want to go and study to be life changers for Jesus Christ. You say, but Don, my gift is not going to make that much difference. You young people, you know, if you just tithe off of your allowance, you're able to dig some wells in Africa. You can see what God's doing. You see, the little boy said, I don't have much. It was just a couple loaves and fish, and Jesus used it and what? And fed thousands. Never underestimate what your gift can do for Jesus Christ. I believe that our church is ready to do some significant things in this city for Jesus Christ. And all it takes is a parent, a youth coach, a student to say, God, use me. Watch this video and see how one of our students that came back from camp had a profound impact on her entire family.
Hi, we're the Meddies. My wife, Dina, my daughter, Jordan, my son, Austin.
When we first started going to CCV about 7 years ago, we would go when it was convenient for us. It wasn't a priority in our lives, and if we had something else going on, then we'd go do that instead of going to church.
2 years ago, we sent Jordan to CIY, and actually that's when things really started to change for our family.
When Jordan was at CIY, she sent me a text, and it said, "Mom, I want to make changes for our family, and I don't want to talk about it now. I want to talk about it when I get home." And so I had 4 days to think about, oh my gosh, what does she want to change about our family? And then she came home and everything was amazing, that the changes we ended up making. And it wasn't anything that she necessarily did. It was how she was. She had this strong relationship with God. And it was very strange for me because as a mother, I was watching her and I was thinking, you know, gosh, you know, she has that light, you know, that they talk about, that I was looking at her and I was thinking, what do you have that is, you know, making you just be this amazing person? And it was her relationship with God.
When I first got back from CIY, I had accepted Christ for the first time. I was planning on getting baptized, and I had a fire for Christ that I was determined not to let go. So Jesus Christ truly is the center and the most important thing in my life. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't look to my cell phone or look to my family to see, like, how my day is going to play out. The first person I want to talk to when I wake up is God and Jesus.
After my sister had come back from CIY, she had really kind of set an example for me on how I should live life. And it really inspires me to be more like her.
It wasn't something that just lasted, and it wasn't a two-week fling. She was really just on fire, and we wanted to support that. And in an effort to support that, you have no choice but to get involved and to really start to engage your own journey and really the passion as the spiritual leader of the family to step up and set an example, to say, you know, it's okay to talk about this. It's okay to share this with your friends. Be proud of what it is. You know, your Christianity and your faith and your relationship with Christ doesn't need to be something that's kept in the closet or just done on for an hour on Sunday. It's something that you can share and you should be taking out to share because it's special. As that energy fills your heart, it does amazing things and brings all kinds of amazing opportunities and conversations that you didn't know even existed.
We can change the world together. Let me ask you one question. If your life ended tomorrow, would there be a vacuum to fill? If your life ended tomorrow, what difference would it make? Would you be missed? Some of you know that last week after church, we had to fly immediately to Kansas because my wife's younger brother's son, age 24, was killed in an automobile accident. It was only 10 years earlier that their other daughter, age 16, died of brain cancer. And those two kids, age 16 and 24, made a difference in the world. They impacted people when they were young. You never know how long you're going to live. Or another person that left a vacuum is a few weeks ago is John Wooden. Famous coach at UCLA, impacted all kinds of players. When I was a basketball coach back in college, his book, They Call Me Coach, had a profound impact on how I coached and how I approached basketball and approached life. He will be someone that his life left a vacuum that somebody will have to step up and fill the void. The good news today is there is the power of one. And as you allow the power of one to work through you, you, with God's help, can do anything. So I want to encourage you today to realize you can be a difference maker. And don't be afraid with your faith to act a little crazy for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you today for your love. Thank you for the Word of God. And we realize that there were some crazy people in the Bible that were sold out to you, like Peter and the woman, David, Jonathan. And if they could make a difference because of their faith in you, we can do the same thing. Help us to not hold back. Help us to step up and say, God, wherever you need me, I'm available. You can use me to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. you're a first-time guest, we're honored to have you here, and we have a free gift for you out at the information area, if you would stop and get that. Secondly, we're getting ready to start a new church at the end of this year. Paul's going to start that. The informational meetings are today in PV1 at 4 o'clock, also this coming Thursday and next Sunday. I would like all the youth coaches and youth staff of our high school ministry, if they would please stand up. Good job. All right. Many of these guys, they give time every week, and they took many of them a week of their vacation to go up and spend with these kids, and we are honored that you're partnering with us to make a difference. Here's the deal, church. If you'd wait a little bit, and the youth, if you would go quietly right now, head out those aisles, just turn and go real quick right out back. Go quietly. I'll make a couple other announcements, all right? And as they go, what's happening today? Last night, over 90 junior high kids were baptized into Christ. And this morning, between all three services, we have almost 100 of these high school kids that have made first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. And they're going to be baptized. And I guess I heard one dad tell somebody last night, he said, you know what? My kid didn't want to go to camp this year, and I told him he didn't have to. And after seeing the junior high last night and the high school this morning, he has no choice next year. He's going whether he wants to or not. These young students are an army, and they're going to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And moms and dads, thank you for partnering with us. It's exciting to be a part of a church that's not dying. We're growing. God is doing great things. And I want to thank you guys for being behind our student ministry and giving and praying and encouraging these kids to be difference makers for Jesus Christ. And so, would the rest of you stand? I hope you've had a great service. Next week, we'll surprise you next week. Who knows what's going to happen, all right? You better be here. Remember, one person, with God's help, you can make a difference. God bless you. Have a great week. Bring a friend next week.